3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I certainly have, and it certainly has stepped on my toes and made me reflect on what God is calling me to do. And what has resonated most to me is that we don't want or should not want God to just give God any old stinky sheet, but we should give him our best. Because when we give God our best, he will bless the rest.
Amen.
And that's our time, our talent, and our money. And that our giving and our living and our service should be unconditional. We saw Frank, our main character, who lived out of his abundance. But when it came to giving to others, he fell very short. He learned a valuable lesson from his son, Evan, who gave away his prized vintage plane. And while he wanted to give that old watch that he found in the corner of his dresser drawer to Mr. Davis, it makes us think that when we give to God, we should remember, as it says in 2 Samuel 24:24, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that costs me nothing. And Ray, that wise old man working in the garden and in the yard, gave unconditionally by doing more than what was expected. And when Evan asked him, why are you doing all of this? He said, because I wanted to. Ray exemplified what it meant to be a cheerful giver. As it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give not what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, under compulsion, for God loves.
Cheerful.
I can say that loud. God loves.
A cheerful giver.
Thank you. I didn't hear you, Reverend Dixon.
Amen. A cheerful giver. Well, the second week, we saw Frank had a dream. Actually, it was a nightmare of sorts. He was on trial, and his money testified against him. We heard testimony from his money, his giving, and the other 90%. They testified that Frank was not as generous as he thought he was. He gave, but was he giving according to his ability?
Yeah.
You know, our money is the best character witness either for or against us, because it knows what we truly want and whom we truly serve. If our money could talk, what would it say about each and every one of us? Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Ray taught us that we are blessed to be a blessing. And since everything we have really belongs to God, you remember we've been talking about that actually for the past 5 years now, about stewardship, meaning that we are caretakers. And that everything we have belongs to God, even our very selves.
Yes.
And since then, everything belongs to God. When we give, we are really just re-gifting. Amen. That really touched me when he brought that out in his film. Now, last week, Frank is starting to get it as he served in the soup kitchen. When he asked Ray for a pen to write a check, Ray handed him a ladle instead and urged him to roll up his sleeves and serve. We learned that God wants us to have a ladle mentality instead of a spoon mentality. Do you remember? With a spoon, we what? Feed ourselves. And with a ladle, what do we do?
Serve others.
Serve others. Amen.
And we also learned that the outflowing of generous living is in our service. Jesus modeled for us what it means to serve. Philippians 2:5-8 says, Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So what's in store for Frank this week? And how are we going to be challenged to examine in whom does our trust lie? Mm-hmm. So let's look and see what's in store for Frank.
Fix it, then I'll find somebody who will. That's not how it was explained to me. Fine, fix it, then get back to me.
Hey, it's been great having you guys down at the soup kitchen lately.
Cassie's on her way back down there now, actually.
Yeah, I heard.
I suppose you heard all that other stuff too, huh? It's about our trusts.
Trust is very important. The Bible has a lot to say about it.
No, I mean trusts with an S. You know, planning our future, financial security.
That's what I'm talking about too.
I've got this intentionally defective grantor trust.
Intentionally defective.
Yeah.
I think I see your problem.
Hello? Yes. What? I'm on my way right now. It's Cassie. Cassie Donovan, I'm her husband.
Sir, I'm going to need you to wait in the waiting room. I'm sorry. I'll have someone come out and talk to you.
No, I need to see her now. Where is she?
Sir, you can't
be... Mr. Donovan, I'm Dr. Harrison. Are you treating my wife? The police said something about her being mugged? Why don't we find somewhere to have a seat? I don't need to sit. Is she okay? Mr. Donovan, your wife has suffered a subdural hematoma. Now, our main concern is that the hematoma could continue to bleed and put pressure on her brain, cutting off the flow of oxygen. She's in an induced coma right now, to keep that from happening.
Coma? What are you talking about?
An induced coma. We hope it won't be for very long.
I need to see her now!
Mr. Donovan, I know this isn't easy for you, but you need to allow us to do our jobs. Why don't you go for a walk? We have your number. We'll give you a call just as soon as you can come back.
Mr. Donovan? Your friend asked me to tell you he went to the top floor if he needed it.
Ray! What are you doing?
Just getting some fresh air. And perspective.
Fundraisers and dinners we've had for this place, and they won't let me see her? How do you know about this place?
Well, there was a season when they could have charged me rent for all the time I spent up here.
What are you talking about?
Baja, my wife. She was here. Cancer.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
It's okay, yeah. Never came up in the middle of Belichick, I guess. It was before I was homeless. Actually, it's mostly why I was homeless. I spent a good chunk of 3 months up here. Hiding from the linoleum, infrared lights. I would look out there, see all those buildings full of people who had so much more than I had. More money, more health. And I hated them for it. One day, when I was in a particularly cranky mood, Logic kicked me out of the room, told me, "You're surpassing cancer on my list of biggest buzzkills." She handed me her Bible. And she says, "You take that book and you go up to that roof. And don't you come back in here until you have a good word to share." I tell you what, God gave me that good word too. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Just run into it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's like an unscalable wall in his own imagination. We build up those walls with our jobs, our money. Trust, but they're not real. But when your wife gets cancer, or is it an accident? You learn that real quick.
How do you know when we're building imaginary walls, or when we're just being wise with our money?
I guess when we stop thinking of it as our money.
Yeah.
Why don't we pray for Cassie? To the real strong tower.
Frank begins the film under a lot of stress. How many of us carry stress of planning for the future, building walls around our life that prove not to be as strong as we thought? We strive for protection, for a life without any type of trial or tribulation, for that man-made hedge around our family. But what does it bring? Stress. Ray gets at the heart of the matter very quickly with Frank's misunderstanding of where our security should lie in. Is it a matter of trust or a matter of trust? God does not bring stress. There may be pressures in our life. There may be trials and tribulations. But stress is rooted in worry. And worry is rooted with unbelief.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 6, 33, 34, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today is trouble enough for today." I need to read that myself. He also said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus gives us peace, but not like the world gives. When we lack that peace, it is time to make sure that what we are doing is in the line with what God wants us to do. Look at Ray, the joy, the peace that he displays. Yet, we see that life has been no walk in the park for Ray. Mm-hmm. But through his trials, he learned an important lesson.
Yes, Frank built impressive walls in his life. He is clearly a wealthy guy with a nice house, pool, investments, everything any of us could want. Mm-hmm. His financial planner is even impressed by him, as we saw in the first film. But Frank learns, as we all do, that when push comes to shove, those walls can do precious little to keep out trouble. Frank's investments cannot save Cassie from a purse snatcher. And his retirement won't steady the hands of the doctor. But let me take this opportunity to say again, financial planning is not a bad thing. That's not what we're saying here. The Bible is full of advice about money. But as we have stated before, God isn't after your cash. God is after your heart. When God has your heart, he has your checkbook too.
Come on.
When God has our hearts, we will care about the things that God cares about. Frank's heart was clearly leaning on his financial stability, his imaginary walls. And we learn that Ray's history holds a different perspective on those walls. He used to resent people with money. He saw what money could do and how it could change his circumstances. And he hated them for it. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever seen somebody else's life and resented them because you thought they were more blessed than you? That's I think, a temptation all of us might have from time to time. But it was in that dark time that Ray found those verses in Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and are safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, like a high wall in his own imagination. Yes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Towers are impressive, aren't they? The skyline of a city shows its influence by the number of skyscrapers that pepper the horizon. The more buildings, the greater the economy, and the bigger the influence of that city on the state and on the world. But in God's eyes, those buildings are just sticks, stones, and paper. Fragile monuments built by the rich to impress and to suppress. They are nothing compared to God.
And we just heard the Bible describe God as a strong tower to which the righteous runs to in times of trouble. The true test of our faith will be, where do we run to for our security? Do we put our trust in money and our savings account? Do we put our trust in people to keep us happy and secure? Or is it in our education and our own personal ingenuity? We learn a lot about ourselves by seeing where and in the midst of a crisis we run to for help. Ray had learned the difference in tower living and the strength of God's tower over his own walls. Our walls crumble easily, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. When we run to it, we are safe. Amen. And Ray had experienced real hardships in his life. His wife dying of cancer, then becoming homeless. But he learned where to run when his wife told him to take that Bible, get out of her hospital room, and don't come back till you have something good to say.
That's right.
Is that where we run? We should be running there every day when things are good. Mm. But she pointed him to a strong tower. And Ray unlocks another important piece in his conversation with Frank. Frank asked him, how can you tell the difference between building imaginary walls and being smart with your money? And what does Ray say? Maybe when you start thinking of it as your money, after all, it's really God's anyway.
Amen.
Thinking of it as our money places our focus on our own ability to secure our own future. That is, until something happens and the bottom falls out of our boat. Job learned this lesson very well.
Yes.
When doing his testing, he lost everything. His friends, his family. His wife told him to curse God and just die. He didn't have anything. He had balls all over his body. But what did Job say in chapter 31, verse 24, 25, and 28? He says, if I put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands had gained, then these also would be sins to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high.
You see, when we recognize that everything we have comes from God, and we stop placing our trust in our ability to secure our own future, then we are free to depend on and rely upon God for whatever the future may hold.
But Ray gets it. It isn't about us. It's all about God.
Amen.
He's our strong tower. There's nothing that you can't go to God for, nothing that you can ask him for, that he won't provide the answer.
Amen.
He knows what's best. Now, it may not be the answer you want, but God knows best. And before we start to think that this is only a lesson for people who are wealthy, it's not. It's about all of us.
Amen.
Consider the story Ray told about his own journey. We touched on it earlier. Ray saw those around him that had financial wealth and began to hate them. But the writer of Proverbs 30, Agar, prays a very interesting prayer in verses 8 and 9 when he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See, Agar knew a thing or two about our human nature. Being rich or poor can trip us up when we have our eyes on the wrong thing. Kind of stay in your lane. Just as Frank had been trusting in the abundance of his finances, in Ray's past, he had dishonored the name of God by hating those who had more than him. It's all about our perspective and where we place our faith. The question is, are you honoring God with what you have?
Maybe we need to say that again.
Are we honoring God in what we have?
Well,
he had built walls around himself. Strong, high, impregnable walls around himself and his family. He had financial security, professional security, a portfolio full of securities. But then the bottom fell out. One unexpected injury and the illusion that he was in control and could keep everyone and everything he cared about safe just felt silly. There come times in our lives that test whether we really believe what we say we believe. You can tell a lot about yourself this way. The storm strikes. Which tower do you run to? Proverbs 18:10 tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Or do you run into the tower of worldly security? I learned this lesson myself the hard way. When the things you love most in this world can be hurt or taken away at any moment, there's no such thing as security against pain. To love is to be vulnerable. The only thing that stands strong forever is the character and the faithfulness of God. When you climb that tower, you get perspective on everything around you. But that climb is hard. It often means dealing with the pain or grief of whatever it is that drove you to the tower in the first place. Running to the name of the Lord means trusting in His character, running into the arms of His family, resting in the truth of His word. At the end of the day, the only security we have is a rock-solid knowledge that our lives are firmly held in loving, almighty hands. Where do you run when the day of trouble comes? What are the walls you've built up against misfortune? If your fortress is built with wealth, what happens when you find out it's made of paper? Instead of investing your faith in an intentionally defective trust, what if you chose an intentionally effective trust? What would it look like to put your trust in the one tower that cannot be shaken? The name of the Lord.
Amen. I told you this week was a powerful week. Is it not?
Amen.
Are you hurting today? If you are, I challenge you to run to the strong tower. People fail us. Our money will fail us.
Amen.
When you get a word from the doctor that says you have a terminal disease, incurable. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Amen? Money can't heal you. Money can't save you. And the peace that we think we get from money is so temporal. And we can lose that peace in the blink of an eye. But I challenge all of us today to run to the strong tower, to run to Jesus, to run to His word, and to run to one another. Those who believe that we serve a God who hears and heals and cares. Because God calls us as a body to stand with and encourage and to pray for one another. It's in the Lord that we live and move and have our being. And He has promised us that He will never leave us. That He will never forsake us. That He will never fail us.
Amen.
As we were working on this message this week, a song dropped into both of our spirits, so we figured it was the Lord that we should play this song. And we actually had somebody who was coming to sing it for us, and then that fell through. And rather than me attempt to sing it, or Elder Kelvin attempt to sing it, we're going to play it. And it is "My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord." As I play this song, I want you to think about those imaginary walls that you have built, those things that you rely upon. And I want you to ask God to tear those things down in your life so that He can be that sustaining power in your life through no matter what ups and downs you may face.
The storms Sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon.
Is your soul anchored in the Lord? When the sea billows roll and storms come along, who do you go to for your strong tower? Is it God or is it man? We all have problems and tribulations and trials in our life. But we know that when God is in control, he does what he says he's going to do. He never will leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter where we are or what status we may have in our life, God is our strong tower. Yes. He is the one that we can trust. He is the one that we can go to. Yes. Is he your strong tower today? Is he the one? And if he is, then we should have no problems with giving him our best.
Yes.
There are going to be times when things get tough. There are going to be times when we don't see our way out. But we have to put our trust in the Lord. And when we put our trust in the Lord, everything will work out fine.
Yes.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being the God you are. We thank you for helping us through those tough times in our lives. Sometimes, Lord, we're not as faithful as we need to be, but Lord, you are always there. You're always the God of all. Lord, let us not forget that you are in control of everything, that we can't control anything, and all that we have, you have given to us. So, Lord, help us, teach us to be more generous in our living, in our giving, and in our service to others. And Lord, help this congregation as we look to try to move forward and do what it is that you would have us to do. Because God, when we put you in control, you're not the co-pilot, you are the pilot.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. We need you this day. Yes. Let there be some soul that has not come to know you. Let them know you today. If they so desire to have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.